Welcome to the CEN show, the voice of the world community. I'm your host, Roski Mascagni. Tonight we have Professor Amun-Ra, Ernest McBride Jr., Brother Kwabena, Brother Ahi, and Brother Mashinda. We're going to do a Black community literature. And there's a few topics that's kind of pertinent today. And I'm going to let Professor Amun-Ra start with the Diddy trial. So, Professor Amun-Ra?
Well, I didn't follow the whole trial, but I followed enough when he came back and only was convicted of two cases of dealing with prostitution versus RICO or what they, you know, that situation and sex by force. And another case, they found him guilty, but the two lesser ones they did. And it was interesting that they didn't put Trump on trial for his forcible sexual abuse. They just did Silver. And they were saying that most people who get just prostitution cases, they get probation or they get, because, you know, it didn't entail violence, and or they get bail. In most federal cases, they let you out until, even after your sentencing, after you get a sentence, they let you out until you get your sentence, then you report to the federal court. But this brother, they denied him bail. He don't get sentenced until October. And the judge bases the decision not to give him probation or bail, a bail amount on the basis of that. That had nothing to do with the trial. It's about the video said he has a propensity for violence. And so therefore, and second that, because he didn't give him bail at the beginning of the trial, he's not going to give him bail now. And I just thought that as an example of the two-tier corruption of the criminal court system in America that has always been harder on African Americans than they do white people. And I just thought, I'm like Kwabena. I'm not a Diddy fan, and I'm not a Diddy follower. I don't even know what the music sounds like. Only person I recognized was Biggie, and that's because I did a video. I had a video on Biggie's life, and I showed it to my class. And I talked about how Tupac at 25 got popped, and Biggie got there around 24 or something. I mean, he's a young man. And I was just trying to tell them they were singing about a lifestyle that took their lives. You understand? And that's a very important thing. But getting back to the day, I just think it's another example of why so many Black people are incarcerated and white people for the same crime are out. You know, and things of this nature. This white boy just killed four girls in Idaho. And then they let him cop a plea because they have the death penalty. And the judge accepted the plea when many Black people, if you did some heinous crimes like that, they wouldn't even let you plead. If the case was as solid as they said they were, they wouldn't even be discussing the plea. You understand? And, but they're going to give him a so-called life imprisonment without parole. And that's like being buried in an iron casket. You know, I mean, so thin as niche. But that's the main thing, you know, like, We're the people are so naive. You see, white folks, they're actors, they're wickedly actors, trickeration. You watch them on TV, they talk moral talk, they talk heroism, they're against everything bad. But in real life, if you just really check it out, now look at this situation with us as a people. Letting them pick up Latinos with no due process. And there's not really there's an uproar among Latinos, but you don't see right so-called moral people that are white stepping up and really saying, no, this is wrong. But because they don't think the law applies to anybody but them, because the laws were created to protect white supremacy. And here they are, got a Nazi for president and a criminal, domestic criminal. You know, Trump daddy was a German. Trump them immigrated from Germany. Trump wife was, as Miss Crockett said, came here as a model under a statute that requires you to be won the Nobel Peace Prize or did something unique or professional athlete, Olympic, but they got her in here. Then they went and got her mother and father, but nobody's really talking about it. And that's what makes you upset about the Democratic Party. When Biden appointed Garland as a prosecutor, that was the worst decision in the world. Because he's the one that delayed the investigation of Trump almost a year and a half. And that's why they ran out of time. Because he said he didn't want to be political. Wasn't nothing political about prosecuting Trump or prosecuting, those people. But that's the same thing I applied at the Diddy case, the two-tier system. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying African Americans who commit crimes and they get less sentenced when they commit crimes against their own people. You understand? And there's no high pursuit of murder cases or solving them, and they get lesser sentences when the victims is us by Black people. And then versus the European, if a Black person just look at a white woman, they give him a rape case, either lynching or give him a bunch of time. But I was just a little, because most legal analysis predicted that he would get bail and that they would let him out because that's what they generally give people who get convicted of prostitution. You understand? But instead, I think they're going to throw the 10-year sentence on him. And he got convicted of two cases that are 10 years apiece. I think they're just going to give him 10 years and combine the other case, let him do it concurrently. And that's what I'd see. I don't know about you, Kwamina, how you feel about it?
I don't know. I just think, because I didn't think they were going to get him on no RICO charges when they first started trying that. I have no respect for that dude, what he's meant. How we struggled with the whole slop hop industry. I heard we were talking about Dr. Frances Cress Wells, and you guys probably heard me share a quote, how rap music has annihilated the self-respect of Black people. But Sean Combs is one of the main ones who's been a part of that for a long time in hip hop or in rap music. And just the misogyny, just the disrespect, just the alcohol abuse, the shooting and killing the Black folks. And he's been all a part of that. And I just have no respect for him and what he represents. When it comes to this trial, I'm not surprised that he just got acquitted on everything else but those two charges. But I did think they were going, let him out today. I mean, prostitution, this whole thing. And then I think about, like, over here where I live, they just had Too Short come in concert, and everybody was all in pictures and bragging about Too Short being here. And he has a song, well known, for rapping, calling our women B's and H's. And he has a song right now where you see these grown 50-year-old women dancing to him, calling them B's today. You know, it's just this whole rap thing, hip hop thing has just been so destructive to our people. So I don't have that much respect for Puff. Whenever he gets out, if it's 10 years, if it's in October, if it's next week, I just wish he'd go sit somewhere, wherever Russell Simmons and Bambaataa are, and just stay away from us. Just stay the hell away from us. That too, you know. And then again, but also I think we need to deal with these other perpetrators, because again, he may go away. He's a rotten piece of almost billionaire fruit that we can throw away, but then there's others out there. So it's really a industry thing that we got to address with them. So it's just, I don't know. I haven't been following the trial too much, but you can't help it. Like it, even ABC News has a 10 o'clock special on the trial coming on tonight. So, I mean, I'm not going to watch it, but I was watching World News earlier and they shared that when they talked about what's happening with him now. But there's no respect for that dude and what he represents. And he's not the only one that we have little no respect for. And those above him, you know, who promote him and push him. I mean, why Clive Davis? Lock him up. Lock up, what's his guy's name? Dan Crawford, Crawford Broadcasting. Lock up this dude who's in charge of No Heart Radio, who orders the hits on our people. I have some relatives who were at a party, teenagers, a graduation party just this past week in Louisiana where four or five people got shot. And I asked my one little relative, what type of music were they playing? Was the music encouraging us to shoot and kill each other? He said, yep, they sure were. And this is all over. This is in a small town in Louisiana just this past weekend. And that's what Puffy represents. That's what Dan Crawford represents. That's what whatever the guy's name in charge of iHeart or No Heart Radio. And they have 28 such stations around the country that play that music. It tells people to do what Puffy did. There was a guy, what's his name? Rich Homie Quan. He just passed away last year. He had a song called, where, ooh, 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 ooh. He said, give that girl some X, and she going to want to sex every end in the set. So basically, you're going to give her some drugs and let her get drug raped. And it's like, and that stayed in hot rotation for about 8 months. He performed it at the Atlanta Hawks opening of their basketball season. It's just, this stuff is just tearing us up. And again, whatever happens to Puff, you know, I don't know. I said too much about it, but I have no respect for that dude and what he represents.
Okay. What about you, Ernest?
Well, I just got maybe one thing to say. I got no respect for a man that don't respect women. And that's kind of what he showed me. He's that type of guy, you know, so I got no sympathy for him one way or the other. So
mm-hmm. I'm kind of confused. What is respect these days? Do women respect themselves? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, in the culture, this, but they so-called cultures. Yeah.
You could always find women to do what he was forcing that lady to do. There's some out there who would do that in a minute, you know, like you say, so he didn't have to do what he did. So
yeah, but that's the case that they didn't, that he was found innocent of forcible rape. But let me say this to you. You know, it's a challenge for us to support this brother in any kind of way, as mm-hmm. you said, the disrespect among himself. But you know, brother Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, this brother Prince.
Not necessarily. He didn't have no run-ins, but he was a power broker, and yeah, he can't turned up dead.
Yeah, but yeah, well, he's using drugs. But I'm talking about you know, all these black people become poster child of rape. Yeah. All of them have one thing in common. They all hung out with white folks. You understand? And when you develop a white mentality, psychology, and you get their diseases, not just their physical diseases, but their mental diseases. There was a time we never thought about black people committing suicide. Now, you've been acculturated so long, you see black people committing suicide or mass killing.
I'm about to say mass killers too. Yep.
Yeah, and now here you got, and I agree with Quaminon. All those records that Quaminon be talking about, white folks promote them. You understand? Right, white folks give them Grammys. I mean, give them everything we try to teach our kids not to do, they reward them for. So that stimulates kids to want to do that. You know, all that profanity, Two Live Crew, all of them people. And remember when BET used to have the video of them all in a hot tub with four and five women drinking, pouring beer all over the woman and all that type of stuff they were doing? And I agree with Ernest about disrespect. But when you get out of your culture, because white folks never respected women. They didn't even let them vote until 1920. And they believed in beating women all throughout their history. And some black brothers get involved and like that. And then they shield the white people, like who I think is Einstein and some, the guy that killed himself in prison that was going into his island. They won't even release the list of white folks that was there. They say, like they won't even release all the paperwork. That's what Musk was saying. Said, why don't they release them papers? Because Trump went over there and hung out with that, with those people. And so Trump did forcible sex abuse. And they only got him for a civil case, wouldn't even put him on trial. You understand? The prosecutors could have prosecuted him. You understand? But I'm just showing you how they protect their image. I'm telling you, that television and their motion pictures where they act like they're so moral, they be acting. What you're seeing in Trump and in these abuses of women and the one and he is right. The white woman supports him. Look how many white women voted for Trump after he said he could grab their coochie. Look how many white women voted for Trump after he got convicted of sexual abuse. You understand? They the ones that loaded his gun to kill the Indians. They're the ones that prayed for him and cheered for him when they were raping black women during the Holocaust of enslavement. And you didn't see no woman group during the Holocaust of enslavement out protesting the enslavement of black people. Matter of fact, they even owned slaves, enslaved people. The naivete of our people to not see through the cobwebs of confusion and the illusion of inclusion. And now I hear Trump saying he wants to send criminals, deport criminals, period. Not just Latinos. Then he said he wanted to get rid of people that have been nationalized, citizens. Not, and then he said that he wants to get rid of birthrights. I want you to understand, he controls the Supreme Court. He supports Congress, the Senate. And our people are naive to think that they won't start deporting just black people, period. And they already been killing them, you understand? And getting away. You got to wake up, and teach. That's why I want that lady to come talk about voices that are quiet during the time of crisis. We're in difficult, a demanding, dangerous, and demanding time.
Hey, Professor Rob.
Yeah.
I wanted to get Machinda's take on the Diddy trial.
Go ahead.
If you want to talk about it. Brother Machinda?
Yeah, I don't have much on that. It's just a guy that has a lot of money. So it's a high profile situation. So the television industry feeds off of it. There's a lot of ratings, a lot of money made off of people who follow these types of trials and things like that that are televised or that's, you know, in the news, you know, so it generates a lot of money. So whether he did it or not, you know, that's between him and who he has to deal with, you know. Obviously the jury said what they said, so he's exonerated on certain charges. So, okay, what else is new? You know, so he had a dream team. He had money. Average brother in society don't have that kind of money. They go up the river. They through. So, you know, if you got money to do what you got to do, if that's what you do, you know, like I say, he got to answer to what he got to answer to, you know, well, you know, and that's it. But, you know, it just, it showed you if you have money, you can have the laws interpret in your favor. You know, not saying he's guilty or not guilty. I'm just saying that if you have the money, you know, people are well connected. These are humans, you know, so-called humans that are running these trials. These lawyers are well connected. You know, Trump is, you know, those people affiliated with Trump in a certain way. So, you know, some push come to shove, you may see a pardon, you know, if they want to give them 10 years on each of those things that they convicted him on, you know, the prostitution, transportation of prostitution, two charges that can lead to 10 years each. But the legal experts saying that, you know, it's no way possible that's going to happen, you know, in a federal court, you know, that's going to happen. But, you know, I will say that I hate to see a brother who got caught up. You know, I deal with people every day, and it alarms me when we take off into the wrong direction and we get caught up into all kind of things, whether it's drugs and, you know, and so forth, or whatever we get caught up, but, you know, so I'm always rooting for the people to get themselves together, you know, get themselves right, trying to keep myself straight, trying to keep, you know, stay on track, you know, so I'm not going to hate on the situation. You know, I wish he has a family. I wish him and his family well. I hope he gets help and try. He didn't kill nobody, you know, in the situation, supposedly, or whatever, you know, he's, you know, that didn't come out. Just, you know, using his power to have fun and to control. And then, of course, I'm sure there's violence involved with, you know, egos and all that kind of stuff. So this is just a scenario to give you a good interpretation of what's going on with people that has power. You know, he's almost a billionaire. So they have 70 civil charges against him, several 70 cases, you know, so he may give up $200 or $300 million. So he still have $200 or $300 million. So what, you know, but, you know, I hope he gets help, and I hope, you know, I hope that, you know, but again, I don't support any negativity, any violence, anything like that. But, you know, I hope that, you know, he try to make himself whole. But other than that, there's there's other things that are more important, you know, in society. You know, of course, we become the poster child. You know, we're on the 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock news every night. Who we killed, we up for murder and robbery and all that. You know, Black people have been posterized on these news medias as villains and killers and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, they take his trial and it's the same thing. You know, if he did it, you don't deal with it. But it's high profile, you know, and the sensationalism, that type of thing, you know. So unfortunately, you know, it's a continuation of trying to mold the mindsets and the opinions of this is how we act, this is who we are as a people. You know, the young folks, they say, oh, this, you know, then, you know, does all Black people act like that? You know, it's a, you know, it's that subliminal seduction and you know, just the conditioning of the mind, you know, that we are uncivilized and we're crazy and we're killers and all that kind of stuff, you know. I mean, there's all kind of folks doing all kind of things, but you don't see them on the news all the time. You don't see their trials, you know, those Epstein Island and all that craziness. You know, we heard about it, but they don't talk about that. They don't, that ain't something we, everybody waiting, Do you know what's going on with that case? I know somebody, you know, do we know what happened? You know, no. You know, like somebody mentioned Clive Davis or any of these recording moguls, you know, you don't hear about none of that. Nobody's, but, you know, we, you know, people say like Bill Cosby and, you know, with trying to buy NBC Studios, NBC, and, you know, P. Diddy in his Ciroc, you know, his liquor business. He wants to get the, you know, the market share, you know, and they're like, you know, hey, you can't get the market share. So then it's time to expose you. You know, you've been doing wrong. So now we got something on you. So we'll, I don't know how true that is, but it's probably true. When there's smoke, there's fire. You know what I'm saying? There's something to that because that's their MO. That's what they do, you know? And if you don't play along with their game, they'll expose you, you know? So, you know, so you want to dance with the enemy, you know, you got to expect some fallout behind that. So anyway, I wish everybody well, and that's all I can say, but I have no more.
Machinda, what do you think about Kanye West asking Trump to give him a pardon?
You said Kanye West asking Trump to give Diddy a pardon?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I mean, I heard Trump say himself, you know, he would look into it if some wrongdoing going on. You know, if I feel somebody was mistreated in sudden, he said, I definitely look into it. You know, he said that out of his own mouth. So, you know, these guys are friends. You know, these guys have, you know, they're in the music industry together. You know, they look, you know, and so this is his brethren. It's, you know, coming to his aid, you know, saying, hey, you know, I'll do what I can to help you out, man. You help me out, you know, that kind of thing. You know, they're in that industry together. So I got no problem with that. You know, that's what they do. You know, if you want to look out for, you know, somebody that helps you out, you know, I mean, I'm not condoning what went down. You know, we all seen a video where he was kicking and beating on this woman and stuff. And then he admitted that it was he made a mistake and he shouldn't have did all that. It was, he feels bad about it, all that. But that's, you know, but he needs help. He's a sick dude. You know, when you do that, when you resort to that, you have serious mental illness and it's been unchecked. So Kanye West, you know, he's been revealed as mental illness, you know, that kind of thing, you know. So, but I don't have a problem with somebody helping somebody else out, you know, or you know, trying to, you know, hey, exhaust your resources, you know, everybody else do it, you know. But let's not forget about what happened. You know, let's not forget about, you know, the effects that it has on our people. And so, you know, I'll just throw it like that. I'm not going to pass judgment, you know, because that ain't, you know, that ain't my position, but I can speak on it. It ain't right. And I think the brother needs help. And Kanye West, you know, if he can get Diddy a pardon through Trump, hey, that's what everybody do. They use their resources, you know. Like getting a job, you know, call your uncle up, see if he can hire me, you know, that kind of thing. So call your people up and see if they can say a good few good words for me. So that's what we do as people, you know. So that ain't nothing different. You know, this man is facing life in prison. So he's like, man, somebody help me. Now that they done dropped the RICO and the other stuff, you know, now he's looking at 10 per charge. But they said that'll never happen. But I'm saying is, yeah, he needs all the help he can get, you know. But I look out for his family, man. I'm looking at their family. You know, they was brought up in it, and they probably got some mental illness too. And you know, they need some help. That's all. So, but hey, more power to them on that. You know, but I don't support nothing that's negative that's going down. But I believe people. I believe in redemption.
I like that analysis, brother. That's a good one. What about you, Ernest?
Well, I think they kind of overcharged, like on that rack of 10 or whatever, you know. So I'm kind of along with the jury. I didn't go along with that, but I don't know those other charges they had against him. But like Shinda was saying, you know, black man always get the short end of the deal because this white guy now to kill those four students. He they're going to try him in Utah so he can not face the death penalty. And he agreed to plead guilty. I thought, now, he done murdered 4 kids, and then he wants to hang on, spare himself, which self-preservation, you know, you can go along with that, but they letting him, you know, try him in a state that don't believe in the death penalty, you know, to save his life. So, but I'm thinking it'd be somebody like Puff. They would try to throw the book at him, like you say. So, I don't know. I haven't been catching up with it too long, because, like I say, my wife, she don't, you know, when I turn on the news, she want to see a cowboy movie, you know, it's her thing. So I say, okay, you know, whatever you want to look at, you know, and when she go to sleep, I might turn on CNN and stuff, you know, and try to catch up with what's going on.
Hey, Professor Ra. Yeah. I want to go to Kwabena so he could talk about the two celebration, well, the birthdays of two great men. Brother Kwabena?
Right on, brother. So a lot of us have been talking about Malcolm and the 100th anniversary of his birth, born May 19, 1925. Matter of fact, over here in Garyville, we have a centennial lecture series we've been doing every month with people coming in to speak about certain aspects of Malcolm and just giving it up for that brilliant brother on his 100th anniversary. And last month, we talked about some things that are going on internationally. I just thought about this today. The quote we used from Malcolm was, "You can't understand what's going on in Mississippi unless you understand what's going on in the Congo." Now, in Mississippi during that time, it was right around the time when Medgar Evers was assassinated, when he said that. And you look at the Congo, it was right around the time when Patrice Lumumba was assassinated. And ironically, today, July 2nd, 2025, is the 100th anniversary of the birth of both Patrice Lumumba and Medgar Evers. And these were just two brilliant Black men, brilliant Africans who sacrificed their lives on behalf of the people, working for the people. Medgar Evers, NAACP field secretary out of Mississippi, was constantly harassed and threatened and Molotov cocktails thrown at his house, almost ran over and eventually assassinated by Byron De La Beckwith, I think was his name. And, you know, if you look at the movie Till, you'll see him depicted in there. Just a stellar brother. And, you know, when we talk about Malcolm and Martin, a lot of times we talk about Medgar too, and respectfully and righteously so, right there in Mississippi. And I think about our homeboy, our brother, who wrote the book, We Will Shoot Back. And I was communicating with another brother today. He read a book about the Deacons for Defense. And he also talked about the book, When We Shoot Back, We Will Shoot Back, chronicles the Mississippi resistance and the Mississippi struggles that were going on there. And he said both of those books woke him up, because he was thinking about the civil rights movement. We were just being passive and not doing anything. And no, we weren't. And those books definitely hit hard, especially one to me about, I didn't read the book about the Deacons for Defense yet, but definitely read We Will Shoot Back by Akinyele, Brother Akinyele Moja. I guess from the West Coast too, our brothers from the West Coast, but just to chronicle how they did, they weren't playing out there in Mississippi, how they were organizing and fighting back and weren't playing. And so it was a lot of resistance there. And, you know, they saw, you know, he was there, like I said, with Emmett Till. They talked about with the Emmett Till case. And so we just sued that brother. And also, we want to say Murley's still with us. His wife, Miss Murley Evers, is still with us. So it's not too long ago that brother was doing what he was doing. And like Malcolm said, you can't understand what's going on, what was happening then in Mississippi, unless you also look at what was going on in the Congo. And it's still going on in the Congo today. Patrice Lumumba. I mean, just, you know, there was a lot of people, you know, struggling for our people in the Congo. And we know what happened when they took over, when he took over power from the Belgians, and the CIA was all in there, and, you know, Europe was all in there because of all the resources that are in the Congo. And Patrice Lumumba was vocal, and he was strong in his support for Africa and African resources.
Pan-Africanism, yes.
Pan-Africanism, yeah, and with Nkrumah and others. And he was assassinated. He was assassinated. Then they put, speaking of which, these sellout Sambos that we're talking about, you know, they put in Mobutu Sese Seko, who ruled and became a billionaire. We're talking about billionaires. He became a billionaire, you know, while he's still getting those, the billions or the billion, the West was just extracting the resources from the Congo. And so just salute those, both of those brothers. And again, all born in 1925. There's a couple more that we talk about born in 25 too. It was our brother from France, Benin, and somebody else. I'm trying to think who the other brother was, who was also born in 1925, where we recognized their 100th anniversary of them being here. There was one more I can't recall right now, but just wanted to shout them brothers out, man. And we look at what's going on in Sahel with Ibrahim Traore, Brother Gota, and the other leaders in Africa and the youth in Africa who are rising up against imperialism, kicking the French out, saying we're going to control our own resources. And then we go back and see what happened the other day, thinking about this knucklehead Nazi, as he was just described, talking about the pretty sister from the Congo, who was reporting on the Congo and Rwanda. Yeah, and so he's talking about how pretty she is, but yet he supposedly brokered a peace deal between them and Rwanda being used to go in and extract resources for these corporations, which is why one of the reasons why we look at Rwanda right now and it's being a place where a lot of people want to go. Yeah, because they're a darling of the West. But I love Ibrahim Traore's simple reaction to that. And he just said that, hey, you know, how embarrassing it was pretty much that we have to go outside of our continent for these imperialists who have this history of exploiting us and taking our resources to come in and broker peace, and then they get more stranglehold on our resources. So he made it plain, but I mean, the tide is turning. Patrice Lumumba, we say he smiled at his grave. You say Malcolm, Martin, who understood that, with Nkrumah and Garvey, Du Bois, they are, I would think, are optimistic about what's happening. I just got back from Louisiana. I was with my mother and my auntie. Both my mother wanted to know more about Ibrahim Traore. My auntie she sent me a text in April, just simply said his name. 90 years old. I just saw her. She was like, she just loves him. And she's very, very religious and apolitical. But she loves what's going on in Africa. And the people are really excited about what's happening. And we know that we got to get serious here in the U.S. And so I'm just want to salute them two brothers, man. Again, on this today, the anniversary of their birth, centennial anniversary of their birth. Long live Patrice Lumumba. Long live Brother Mega Evers.
Right on, brother.
Appreciate it. Go ahead, Professor Rob.
Appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. You know, Mega Evers was born in July 2nd in, I think, Decatur, Mississippi. And then he got assassinated in Jackson, Mississippi. Shot in the back in the driveway on the way home. He served in the Army. You know what I'm saying? He became the NAACP first field secretary. And, you know, again, the two things that many of us as African Americans, some of us don't really think about, is how vicious these Caucasians are with assassinations. I doubt if the average kid who's in school today know who Medgar Evers did. The candidate voted for voting rights, struggle for voting rights, desegregation of public facilities. And, was a martyr. He's a martyr. Many of them knew who they were dealing with. But many of the people today don't know who they're dealing with. And they get naive. Like we always say, you may not be at war, but you're definitely in a war. And all you have to do is look at the casualties and the death rate at the hands of Europeans from different institutional ways, poor health care, poor health facilities. William Guthrie in his book, even the rats were white. All the studies on diseases, white people, they got rid of all the things about sickle cell anemia. You don't even hear about that pertaining to black people. And that kind of how vicious the Holocaust of enslavement was, how vicious sharecropping was, how vicious, and they want to get rid of all that teaching and get rid of the books that it's in. Not only they don't want people to teach it, they don't want people to be able to research it. So but getting back to Medgar, strong brother, as Pamela was saying, his wife was a strong sister and kept up his legacy for years. Then she remarried years after. But I think they found the killers about 1970 sometime. He was killed way back, way before then. It goes to show you, I think some of the killers we even did or something like that. I think it's assassinated. The same thing with Patrice Lumumba, where the CIA tried to poison him. And then when that didn't work, he was killed by the CIA to destabilize the Congo. And as Kwame Eldon said, there's so many martyrs that I don't know about that, and I'm a black studies professor, that these kids, the young generation, is not being taught. And they're not being taught by their mothers and fathers, because the mothers and fathers don't know that they should be teaching this and grounding their kids in ethics and values, so that these European culture, such as the rap music, the violence, the drugs, and all that, that they're taught not to participate in that. My mother and father never told me what not to do. You understand? I didn't learn this until after I got out of college, and began to study that it's not about hating white people. It's about loving your people. And to love them, you educate them to ethics and morals and value of having a strong character. Even if you don't want to participate in the struggle, at least keep your character in check and your values in check. So I agree with Brother Kwame Nkrumah. We should begin to develop our wall of heroes and heroines that contributed to. There are bridges that we cross, and they're the shoulders we stand on. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, that was magnificent information there. And next
week. Can I say something?
Go ahead.
About Mississippi. I'm going to talk about a contemporary of Medgar Evers and what the brother was saying about the struggle in Mississippi was not just we shall overcome. It was an armed struggle too. My children's grandfather, Dr. Mason, Gilbert Mason, who was down on the coast there in the Gulf, contemporary of Megger. They were friends. And Dr. Mason community took up arms down in Biloxi, Mississippi to protect him. He has a book called Blood on the Sand, Blood on the Beach, where Black people were not allowed to use public beaches. This man went on the beach by himself, surrounded by local police, state troopers, and all the white people down there to protest the fact that the tax dollars that the Black people pay was not enough for them for the white folks to allow them to get on that beach. And by himself, shaming the people down there and bringing to attention the treatment of his folk, opened up those beaches. He was the one doctor in that town that would treat Black people and had to perform the surgeries. All on one floor, and the only thing separating the patients were maybe sheets to divide them. They didn't have private rooms. Deacons of Defense right next door in Louisiana. Brothers did pick up arms, and they didn't just pick them up. They were used down in Mississippi. So when my brother was talking about the struggle in Mississippi and down in Louisiana, it's a real deal. And those people, some of the people that were involved in that are still there today, and they celebrating these struggles and the conflict. Now, on the Diddy deal, I'm not a bedroom police. You know, I don't, you know, whatever he wants to do in his bedroom is, you know, or anybody else, they business. And those were the two things they got him on: prostitution, taking them traveling across state lines, whatever it was. This is a trivial type of deal because everybody was grown. And it wasn't like the men came to him and his woman, and it was his women who always made the appointments. What gets me is I used to think it was about a power of political power that people were getting persecuted from for our people. But it's not just political power, it's power, period. Power, period. Any type of power that people have, these white folks are gonna go and try and eliminate it. Pity, as far as Diddy is concerned, I remember him doing anything for our people or even taking any type of stands. He was dancing his way to hell. So it's a power play. And I just wanted to just talk about that because I used to think that our political leaders were the ones that were targeted, but they aren't. Just anybody with any type of power, they don't want you to have anything. So, okay, yeah, what are we doing next week?
Appreciate it, Brother Ahi. Next week, we have Kwabena as the guest next week. Kwabena, you want to tell us what we're going to be talking about next week?
Where are we going? We just finished Black Music Month, and the last song we were talking about, music that motivated the masses, music to motivate the masses, and we were sharing the song every day. And the last song we shared was a Donald Byrd song called Where Are We Going? And it was remade with Marvin Gaye, and they waited a long time to release it. And as we finish up this first quarter of this century, we were 6 months into the second quarter of the century. Just want to ask the question, where are we going? Where are we going? So that's part of it all. That's what I want to talk about next week.
That ought to be interesting.
Okay. Appreciate it. Brother Machenda?
Yeah, I just want to say today is Thurgood Marshall's birthday. And ironically, yesterday, which was the first, was on that day, is when George Bush nominated Clarence Thomas to replace him. So, something to think about, I don't want to get, but that's all. This history. That's all.
All right. Thanks a lot. Professor Rob, what we have next week on Tuesday?
Tomorrow, I got confirmed. One of the people I was going to have got in an accident. So I got to check with somebody else. I'll let you know when we put it out to everybody.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody, for coming this evening. We're going to keep doing this as much as we could do it, as long as we're around here. And hopefully when we're not here, somebody can take over. So each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a great day.
Thank you, my brothers.
All right.
Brothers. Well,